Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and we are in my truck on the way to a live event that we're teaching. It's me, Jared, Eve. It might be a little loud, but we felt like this was an important topic. We want to be able to knock a podcast out on the way to this event. Actually, to breakfast is where we're headed. But we've got a handful of people in town for a live event that we're doing 2 days. Primarily new business owners in a you know, cash practice, performance-based setting, and they're learning all about the steps that they need to have a successful business, as well as developing an action plan that they can implement over the next 90 days to really gain a lot of progress within their business in a short period of time. So yesterday, over lunch, we grabbed some beer at the liquor store underneath where we were teaching. And to give you some context, we were in the liquor store looking for beer, and I started walking around looking at whiskey, and I really don't know much about whiskey. I was just looking at price. And as I was walking down the aisle, there was one bottle of whiskey that was, I think it was $250. Everything else around it was about like $40 to $60. And it really stuck out to me. And it was also kind of an interesting name. It's called Chicken Cock. And for those of you that know whiskey, maybe you're familiar with Chicken Cock, but I'm not. I thought it was genius. I was like, the name of this is very striking. I'm going to remember that. You're probably going to remember this. But it was also almost 10 times as much as everything else around it. Now, I'm borderline like obsessed with this at this point. I almost feel like I have to buy a bottle just to try it. And I don't even really like whiskey that much. But it brings us back to this topic of price psychology and how important it is to price yourself effectively. And maybe not, you know, brand yourself Chicken Cock or something like that. That's a pretty extreme move. But as I was walking around and looking at these different whiskeys, I wondered to myself, this is more expensive, considerably more expensive. It must be better, is what I thought. And I think that that's a common belief for most people when it comes to pricing anything. And this really relates back to what we charge, right? So oftentimes, and this is what we saw yesterday, most people were, what range were they in, Eve? Like $120 to $140?
Yeah, exactly. Under $150.
Yeah. So under $150, which is where most people in a cash setting are at. So if you're looking at pricing, and look at it from the lens of the consumer. And the consumer's like, okay, this person's 120, this person's 130, this person's 125, this person's 200. Holy shit, that's a chicken cock. That's the way I want people to think of us, as the chicken cock of whiskey. of physical therapy is what I want. And I want them to be like, why are they $220 a visit and everybody else is 120? Not, oh, I want to be the cheapest. I want to be the most expensive, because I think we can fulfill on that. I think our product is really good. And if you can put yourself in a position where psychologically people almost take a step back and are like, wow, that's different. That's way more expensive. It must be better, is what most people think. And I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to think about this, or have to say about this too, because it's not just service or products. I mean, it applies to anything, you know, any commodity, any product, service you're gonna get. Typically, we associate something more expensive with being better. What do you guys think?
Well, one thing that I think, you know, pointing out with charging more, I think that's like a psychological hurdle for people most of the time, right? Like I recently got into cycling, you know, just doing it a lot more frequently, getting a little bit more serious about it. And I was talking to this guy about some like little parts I needed on my bike. But he's just a guy who works at the bike shop, right? He knows nothing about me. And he kept trying, like, I needed some new stuff, and he kept trying to like tell me the cheapest way to do it. He just kept offering all these like Band-Aid solutions. I was like, I want like what's gonna work. I probably want the best thing, in all honesty, like whatever you have. And he's like, oh, well, that's gonna be this, and it's like my most expensive thing. I was like, that's fine, like that's what I want, you know. But he was putting his mentality of what he would probably want to buy or could afford like onto me. And I'm like, dude, I don't want this like thing that's gonna break in 3 months. I want something I'm gonna buy, it's gonna last forever. And when you talk about the human body, I'm the exact same way. There are some things that you want to price incredibly low, get it as cheap as possible, because it doesn't really matter. You know, something that like a plastic cup, like who cares?
Mustard.
Yeah, mustard. Who cares? But when it comes to your body and other things, like, I don't want the discount version of anything. And you really don't want to compete in the lowest healthcare format. Like that seems like a terrible place to be.
Definitely. What do you think, Eve?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you said something that kind of hit home for me yesterday, and you said you kind of can be the cheapest, or you can be the most expensive, or you can compete with everybody in the middle. And I thought it was really cool to kind of be that most expensive like piece, because you definitely don't want to compete. You're not going to be able to compete with the cheapest, which is what I call insurance-based care.
Right.
Right? And you want to be, just because of the inherent value that you just talked about, like, just like you said, I want to try some chicken cock too. I just wanted to say chicken cock.
Oh man,
had to get it out there.
But yeah, you want to be priced there, because I think it's a really big part of our strategic advantage. And also, what needs to be said is you need to fulfill on that promise.
Right,
too.
Right.
You know, like, you don't need to be a really highly priced whiskey and then it tastes like crap. Not that I can tell, but like in physical therapy, if you're going to price yourself that way, you also need to fulfill that way. You need to do everything around what that takes to be the highest quality of service. I mean, that's what keeps you in business as well.
Yeah. I think that's where people get, they get hung up, is the fact that they might not be confident enough that they can provide a service that they feel like equates to the price point that, you know, they might want to charge. But I look at that a different lens. If you set your pricing at a place where it makes you feel uncomfortable to say out loud, and this was the advice that I got when I got out, I wanted to charge, I was going to charge $150 a visit. And Kelly basically said, like, if you charge $150 a visit, you can't work for Mobility Wise. Like, you just, it's not going to happen. You need to charge more money than that. He's like, you're undervaluing yourself. And he's like, you have to at least charge $200. And I felt very uncomfortable with that. So I met him in the middle at $175 when we first started. And even in Atlanta, that was the most expensive cash practitioner. There weren't many at the time, but that was probably, I don't know, at least $50 to $75 more than the next closest person. But for me, I always looked at it like, man, I have to over-deliver for these people. I felt very obligated to over-deliver, to really feel like, I wanted them to feel like it was a steal at the price point that I was at. And we still feel like that to this day. So even when we're at, you know, $220 a visit, we feel like we have to go above and beyond. And honestly, we talked about this yesterday too. What people don't realize is, in many cases, that is significantly cheaper than many of the other routes that they're going to go. Like Jared told a story about, you know, hurting his foot and having to go see a podiatrist to get a brace that he didn't wear, and it was an $800 bill for like 15 minutes or whatever at the doctor's office. So what's that equal per hour? You know, that's a ton. You'd have to see us almost four times to get the same, you know, bill from us. And it's also very transparent. It's not coming later. So like, there's a lot to be said for what we do and the value that we provide. I think the hurdle for many people is they don't feel like they are worth it.
Yeah, I agree with that. We did like kind of a deep dive on what patients care about, kind of for like a staff meeting. And it's kind of surprising. Like, of course your outcome matters, but you know what the main list of stuff was? It was like timeliness. It was like a good looking waiting area. It was like friendliness. It was all these things. And I think the outcome was like number four or five, right? Of like the what patients truly care about. So like, we think that the outcome and our manual skills and like how good we are is like the most important thing, when it's really not. And that's maybe a hard pill for some people to swallow, where it's like, oh, my clinical like skills is what really matters, and like I'm just a, you know, I'm a manual therapy ninja, or I'm like really good. Like, actually, it doesn't really matter. It matters, but really not as much as you think.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
I think to go to that next price point is not like more clinical skills, it's the touch points that you're talking about, that like customer service. I think that would be the only differentiating factor. If you're like, I'm just going to charge more, and you're not taking care of the people, and I'm not talking about taking care of them from like performing the services, I'm talking about like following up with them and like showing them that you care, all of these touch points of just having basically good customer service, I think that is alone is what could demand a higher price point.
And I think it's also important to realize that when you put yourself in the middle, it is harder. It's super hard. Like if you're the same price as six other people, you know, in your area, what's going to happen is they're just going to look for the one that's the most convenient, typically. Then it's, and you can't be the most convenient for everybody. You just can't. So as we look at, you know, your business, you kind of end up shooting yourself in the foot and becoming somewhat of a commodity. And commodity is really based on price and speed. So being speed of result, but also speed of them acquiring that service, so getting to you. And that's not something that I want to have to compete on. Sure, it's cool to be convenient, but we have people drive across the city to pay us that much. Why? Because they feel like we're the best, you know, at what we do. And we feel like we're the best at what we do. We have to be able to represent that. And that also drives, like Eve is saying, a lot of additional thought about how you're delivering something. We do spend a lot of time on clinical skill set as well. We feel like constantly learning more is important, constantly being on like the front of the profession, and as far as technology goes, we always are looking for, like, people love when you have like cool shit in your practice. You know, like when we first added blood flow restriction cuffs, the Delphi cuffs that Johnny Owens came out with, I mean, people didn't quite understand them. They just knew that the only other places that they had them were like the Braves, the Falcons, and the Hawks, and us, and like one other clinic on the other side of town. There's like five people in the entire city of Atlanta that had these cuffs. We were one of them at the time. Now there are a lot more now, but then we were looking for, all right, what's the next cool thing that we can add in? What's the next piece of technology that can help us? What's the next technique that can help us? And always kind of striving to be there and be better is important. But we also focus so much on, yeah, what's the communication look like? How many times we follow up with them? You know, are we thanking people correctly? Are we writing a handwritten note to it? So we talked about this yesterday, like the value of a 55-cent stamp, like how much that can do for your practice. These little things that if you want to charge more money, you have to be able to deliver a service that's significantly better. It's like Disney, right? Like, you could make a strong statement that Disney, like, their rides kind of are lame compared to lots of other theme parks. Like, if you want to go to like a you know, bigger rides, like, you go to Universal and they're a lot better, right? Like, they've got faster rides, whatever. And Disney, what's the best thing they have at like Magic Kingdom? It's like a little what the hell is it called? Space Mountain.
Yep.
That's a lame ass roller coaster, let's be honest. Like, it doesn't do much. You know, for my kids, it's kind of cool. But for me, I'm like, this is kind of weak. But that's not what it's about. It's about the music when you walk in, the smell, you know, the consistency of branding with all their movies and everything online and their streaming service they're coming out with, which is probably going to blow up in November that they're coming out with. And like this generational experience that people have, that's why they're so bulletproof when it comes to their business, you know. And you have to really look at your business as, how do I create this experience that is just overwhelmingly positive, makes them feel like they're in the right place, and get them a result that they're looking for, you know, and that they trust in that process.
Yeah, the price situation. I mean, we've worked with over
pay attention
60 owners, right, or about 60 business owners, and raised prices on nearly everybody. Let's say 99% of them, and I've never gotten a pushback. And almost every single owner has grown. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that too. That every time I raise my prices, my business seems to grow a little bit. It does not seem to go down. This is what people think, right? That people think that if I raise my prices, less people are going to come in. And I've noticed, honestly, the exact opposite.
Well, a couple things happen, right? So, like, number one, you differentiate yourself. So now you're in a different conversation, a different bracket. Also, your profitability improves. I mean, some of this you need to reinvest in the experience and the people and all that. But like, if you change your price point by $50 per visit, that's a massive difference in terms of profitability. You know, and that profitability, it puts you in a place that's much different, because what it allows you to do is make better decisions also on what's best for that person. So like, we have people, like, this is a pretty good example in terms of this. Like, if we didn't charge what we do, we would not be able to, like, if we have somebody come back to see us and they say their progress is stalled, right? We can basically say like, all right, cool, let's reevaluate this. We're spend 30, 45 minutes with you, and then we're gonna get you over to go see this sports med doc, but we're not gonna charge you for the visit today, because we need to get you to the right place. We just want to make sure we're on the same page. And I started doing that. It was very hard for me to do that early on. I just felt like it was the right thing to do. But just us doing that, we've gotten so many additional patients from the simple fact that we're not trying to nickel and dime people. And if we weren't charging enough money to put ourselves in a profitable business position to make these long-term patient decisions, we wouldn't be able to do that. If you're just like struggling for every dollar, there's no way in hell you'd be able to do that. You wouldn't be able to pay your bills. And for us, it's really like a no-brainer. It's like, all right, well, what we want somebody to do with our parents, you know, like how we want them to be treated if they were kind of like their progress was stalling and they needed to move on to the next step. So just as something as simple as that, it allows you to do other things with people. Or we have like some scholarship spots that we have for youth athletes whose family just, you know, doesn't have much in terms of financial resources, and we can sponsor them and work with them for free because we have the financial stability from the pricing and the revenue within the business. So if you're not charging what you're worth, you're actually stopping yourself from being able to help even more people, you know, and work with people in a really unique way. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's one of the first things we have people do. I mean, when you do onboarding calls with people, it's probably 90% of the time.
Yeah, and they know it's coming too, which is the best part, because we talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Jared said too is it's 100% the provider, you, the physical therapist, your mindset about money, not other people. Like, that's what's stopping everybody. You know what I mean? Like, there's really no other excuse, and it's just, we've got to find a way. I don't know, Jared, if you have some insight on this, but like, find a way to get over that mindset piece. Like, how, you know, you as a provider can say, I just need to charge more. I mean, some people, I just make them do it, and they come in the group and they're just kind of forced to do it, and then they realize, oh, this is awesome. But, you know, maybe if you're not in the group, I'd be curious, like, if you have any input.
There is certain things, like, yeah, things I hear a lot are like, oh, that wouldn't work in my market or something. Like,
yeah.
How do you even know that? Like, how do you actually, like, I don't know why people think that there's such ridiculous experts in their market or local area. Like, you know how many data points you'd have to crunch to actually definitively know that? So most people, when they say that, I know that they're completely pulling that out of their ass. They're like, yeah, well, that would never work in this place. And I'm like, well, I don't think that you actually know that. You haven't tried it. So I think just doing it helps you change the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If it fails, if you like raise your price point and you, for some reason, you get no new patients at all, guess what? You can lower your prices.
Change
and
it
be
back.
Like, I made a mistake. It's not like you built a, you know, a house out of concrete that's like, oh, well, shit, I'm screwed. You know, you could go back, but you're probably not going to have any issues. You're going to change your mindset. You're going to make more money. And when you make more money, it was like Danny said, it gives you more space. It gives you more space to pause and be like, okay, I don't have to worry about getting 10 new people right now. Like, I can take care of these people. I can spend more time with them. It just gives you a lot more freedom to run your business better.
Well, we think people are sitting online watching everything we're doing. Like,
they don't care.
Do you honestly think about this? As a busy person, do you sit online and just like, a company you're thinking about maybe working with, you watch everything that they do, and you're just like keyed in on everything, and there's this $10 price adjustment, and you're like, motherfuckers.
You wish they were doing
that. Yeah. If they were doing that, yeah, you would be, it would be amazing. You would be Netflix, all right? They would know, like, it would be national news if they changed their pricing significantly. Nobody knows or cares what you're doing, and most people, especially new people, they don't know what you charge, you know? They just know they want help on something, and it's shocking. I remember when I did this with Kingsley in our mastermind, like where he was charging, and he didn't want to raise his rates. And I told him, I said, look, man, the next new person you talk to, tell them the price point is this. And if they say that that's too much and they can't work with you, I will give you the amount of what that hour would have been. I think it was like $180, something like that. And he called me after he talked to this next person, and that person on the phone bought a 10-visit package with him for that new price point. And he was like, holy crap, it worked. I was like, dude, you just got to, now he has confidence in it and make the change. And I think that's a big part of it, is like the confidence from somebody first saying yes. Like, the unknown is that first person, the first couple people. But after that, when it's, oh man, this is working probably better, because now you've separated yourself somewhat. It's a ton of confidence that comes with that. So, ideally, and kind of moral of this podcast, and to summarize it, charge what you're worth, be the chicken cock of your area. That's ideally, and really put yourself in a position where you're not fighting against everybody else as a commodity, and be able to fulfill on being the most expensive and the premium option. I'd much prefer to have to put myself in that position with some pressure on that than be mediocre, average, and just work with the people that are near me. That maybe aren't even as bought in as you would like. And that's it. So we got to get breakfast. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.